Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
It appears you're out of options. Tell me about the threat known as Inferno. Professor Langdon, we need your help. 3 days ago, a man killed himself. We think it was part of something much bigger. There was a package in his pocket.
And what was it?
It's Dante's Inferno.
Dante defined our modern conception of hell 700 years ago.
But these circles of hell have been rearranged.
Why Dante?
Why this map of hell?
Dante. Dante's death mask.
Yes.
We've got to get to Florence.
I need access to the Dante mask.
The Dante mask is no longer here. It was stolen. Here's the security footage.
Professor, that looks like you.
I have no memory of taking that mask.
You did? I just saw you.
I want to know what I'm involved with.
Why was someone shooting at you?
Everything is out of focus.
Professor, you are having visions, aren't you? The people behind this would do anything to protect the truth. You have no idea what they're capable of.
This is what I have been seeing.
Look, look, look. This is not in the original painting.
Here's another one. Prophecy.
Oh, my God.
Dante's Inferno isn't fiction. It's a prophecy. Someone created a plague.
Our population is spiraling out of control. Inferno is the cure.
They're going to wipe out half the world's population unless we find this virus.
They left a trail.
You won't be able to trust your own thoughts for a while. Human lives are at stake. If a plague exists, you know what governments will do to get it.
The professor has become a liability.
Go, go, let's get him.
Here, here. There's always a way out.
It's nice to have you back, Professor.
If this plague is real,
then we only have 48 hours to stop an extinction-level event.
I will do everything I can to find it.
For FM Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti. Today I'm in Florence for the press conference of the world premiere of Inferno, the third film adapted from the novels by Dan Brown and directed by Ron Howard. I have here with me Dan Brown, Ron Howard, the protagonist Tom Hanks, and the newcomers, the new actors of the third chapter, Omar Sy, Felicity Jones, and Irfan Khan. What were your thoughts here in Florence? What have you found here?
Well, I'll start. As a filmmaker, there really could not be a more beautiful city to film. In terms of making a contemporary thriller, it's also a very exciting place because there is so much mystery within the city and so much that people find which they find beauty, but there are these lingering questions from history, and this is what Dan so brilliantly has been able to weave into his novels. And for me as a filmmaker, it's thrilling to be able to try to bring it to the screen.
I'm fascinated with art and architecture. Obviously, Florence is a city-sized museum, an absolutely perfect place to set a novel. When I write a book, it takes 3 or 4 years, so I want to choose a location that I'm passionate about, and that is the city. And of course, I love mysteries and secrets. So when I spoke with the great art historian Maurizio Saracini and learned about Cercatrova in this very room, I guess it's on this side.
Yeah,
over here.
That side.
I just knew that I had to write about it, and I'm very grateful for all the help of the scholars and academics here who helped me write the novel.
A question for Tom Hanks. Inferno portrays overpopulation as the most imminent world danger today. So I wanted to know, what do you think is the biggest threat to humankind?
Well, as always, I think the biggest threat to humankind is ignorance and the embracing of ignorance. But that's been part of the human behavior and the human subconscious ever since time began. Enlightenment, truth, education, understanding of our world, this all comes about through our own intellect and the constant challenging of that intellect. I think as far as the world goes, particularly at this time and place when we seem to be at yet another crossroads in the history of humankind. I think the embracing of ignorance is more dangerous than any other aspect of human behavior. Well, obviously, we're going through world changes throughout everything that's happened in the Middle East in the last 5 years, and countries are almost like a domino effect are reacting to that. And oftentimes their reaction is to embrace some form of very simplistic answers to extremely complicated problems, as well as physical answers to what are really human complications. And I think, you know, you don't have to read much farther than any newspaper in any country, not just Italy or even the United States, in order to see that's the type of thing that's going on. Now, part of it is because every 4 years in the United States, we embrace this kind of question, we deal with it. But also, there's no doubt that the history of the world it seems to be more and more chaotic than ever before. I think, in fact, even if you read historians even popular historians like Dan Brown, you find out that the world has always been at some sort of massive crossroads as far as its understanding of the way things work and our acceptance of each other. It just seems now that it seems to be in a much louder and more constant echo chamber.
A question for Dan Brown. What's the inspiration behind the book, and what did you think about the handling of the film being different from the book?
You know, I think the novel Inferno came out of a single statistic that I heard 4 or 5 years ago, and it's in the novel quite simply, that the population on planet Earth in the last 80 years has tripled, and that a lot of environmentalists feel that every single problem that we have on Earth right now in an environmental sense is a symptom of overpopulation. I became very passionate about the idea and wrote the book to learn about overpopulation and also hopefully to spark some interest in it. And as far as the ending of the movie, you're right, it is different from the novel. And one of the really fun things about watching your novel be adapted is that you see a different telling of your story. And the other thing that over 3 movies with Ron that I've really come to realize is that adaptations are very, very difficult. And these stories change slightly, not on a whim, but out of necessity. That if we filmed every single word in the novel, it would be a 20-hour movie. And so it's fun for me as a viewer to see the choices that screenwriters and directors make. In this case, it's a slightly different ending, so that's sort of fun for people who've read the book. They see something different this time around. The thing I'm most grateful about in this movie is that Ron and David Koepp really went after this idea of overpopulation and dealt with, which was a very important theme in the novel. It was the heartbeat of the novel, and they stayed very, very true to that, and I'm very grateful.
And now for everybody, for anyone that wants to answer, what's your personal idea of Inferno, of hell?
What was fascinating to me as I began to, undertake adapting the novel was how visual and powerful Dante's images were. And in going back and actually and really reading it, I felt like he was giving us the vocabulary of every horror movie that we've ever seen and admired. And it you begin to look at it not only on a kind of philosophical level, but also as a cultural, huge cultural and political shift. And so I was fascinated by that. And the way those ideas have endured was something that that really surprised me. My sense of Inferno is very personal to me. So as a broader philosophy, it's that sense that you have not lived up to the possibilities of any given moment. And so if Dante were to trap me in one of the rings, I'd be constantly struggling to do the right thing and disappointing myself over and over and over again. That would be my version.
Well, one of the things that we spoke about in the adaptation of the book to the film is this very concept of hell as created on Earth. Dante describes a very specific place that you go. The Zobrist in our film, with the idea of overpopulation, really puts forward the idea that we are creating our own version of Dante's Inferno here in the real world. There's any number of places you could go on the planet Earth, and the environment is hellacious, and the people are held in slavery, and there's any number of degrees of misery that are, in fact, created by ourselves one way or another. So the concept of inferno is, to me, one that can be avoided, but only if everybody understands what the problem is and works to avoid it.
I loved how international it was, that the film covers many different continents, that there are people from all over the world, there are different languages. It felt incredibly contemporary. It feels in a world that increasingly through technology is getting much smaller. The film represented this sense of global unity, and there was something fascinating about that.
I also would just add one thing, which is as it relates to the story that Dan created for us, I thought it gave a great opportunity for Tom Hanks, playing Robert Langdon, to have to navigate his own version of the gauntlet of hell, and it was visually really exciting and creative for me to be able to work with those images as it relates to Robert Langdon and the crisis that he's facing and the state of mind that he's in.
Erna?
I feel like, on a serious note, Tom answered the question perfectly, and I really have nothing to add to that. On a personal note, I think my version of Inferno would be writing a novel that I realize has no ending. Don't laugh, it's happened.
For Tom Hanks, how does it feel to play the same character for such a long time?
There's no way, with my countenance, that I could ever come across as being the toughest guy in the room. That just doesn't go along with, this face and this nose and this voice. Coming across the possibility of playing Robert Langdon in the Da Vinci Code, and then in Angels and Demons, and then in Inferno, this gives me the greatest opportunity on the planet for somebody like myself, because I get to play the smartest guy in the room. Now, I can fake that. You give me the right amount of verbiage and just enough time to do the right amount of research, and I can convince you that I may be the smartest guy in the room. The gift that Dan Brown gave me as an actor is to play a guy who is always curious, who is always opinionated, and is always searching for an answer, whether he has or he does not have it. And it's just a joy and a pleasure. We had dinner last night, and we had to toast Mr. Dan Brown, as well as the fortune that we have with each other, because we get to make these movies are a blast to make. They're hard to figure out, they're hard to adapt, they're hard to get our hands around, but to act every day with Irfan and Felicity and Omar and Sidsa and everybody else that was in this film, it is a pleasure and a joy, and to be able to do it in places like Florence and Venice, and in front of a green screen that stood in for Istanbul, it was a damn good time. I'm the luckiest man in the world.
And finally, I would like to ask the new actors of this third chapter, Felicity Jones, Irfan Khan, and Omar Sy, to tell us more about their experience on set.
Yes, really different for me, because I used to play a guy with a smile, very, 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 very light. And for this movie, it was the first time for me to be really, really serious. And to have a bigger, stronger voice. So it was really interesting and a pleasure to play, to act. So I want again to thank Ron for that. And yes, it was a good experience, because as Tom say, it's really difficult for the work, for the location, for to adapt, to write. But for us, it was a really good, comment dire, recreation. It was fun time for me, being in Florence, shooting with Ron Howard, Tom Hanks, Irfan, Felicity. It was really good, and I had to contain my smile for the first time. But and it was really difficult, because it was one of the best time in my life. So, and it was the time I had to be really an actor to contain my smile.
Voilà. Merci. Félicité.
Well, we were welcomed into the community, Dan and everyone, Tom. It was made very easy. Ron every day makes it an absolute joy to be on set, and we had a lot of fun. We all did a lot of running, which is always great when you're running in between these fantastic buildings in Florence and running across these beautiful hallways. And I got to play a fantastic character. Sienna is a very determined woman. She's according to Dan from the book, she's an incredible chess player, which I don't share personally. So that was one of the biggest challenges, learning to play chess.
The chess scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank goodness for that. That would have been embarrassing. It was just a joy to be part of such a fantastic group of talented people.
As an actor, you are always looking for something exciting stories, and this is a combination of contemporary problem, which is such a huge and burning problem, with juxtaposition of history and mystery, and it was a very complicated synopsis I have ever read in my life. As an actor, this is the first time I asked the writer, David Cope, to give me 10-page synopsis of the story, although I have read the book, but still to keep the track of the story. So it was great to be part of this. And then this character really, you know, when I read for the first time, I was pulled by this character. I was attracted to this character because there was humor, there was a style. And as an actor, you always want to departure from what you have been doing. So you seek, you find these characters, which gives you a little other way of portraying somebody else. So, you know, I tried to do it. I don't know how much is translated into the screen, but that was my, you know. And then on top of that, you know, great unit, you know, and such a warm and fantastic human being. And this has been a great, great, great experience for me.
I just want to point out that out of all the battles here, you notice this painting here, which is the siege of, let's just say, Montereggio.
Siena.
That's Siena. You may notice that why are there lanterns and fire torches in this painting and not in the others? That's because the siege of Vienna took place at night, and literally the forces of Florence illuminated the battle and the walls with those lanterns and with those torches. And that's just an example why I am the smartest man in the room.
And this was a clip from the press conference of the world premiere of Inferno, directed by Ron Howard, coming out in Italy and worldwide on October 13th. And this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.